Fred Film Radio, Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, Czech Republic.
Angela Chagby, Fred Film Radio from the Karlovy Vary Festival, especially from the section Future Frames. I'm here with Brenda Lien from Germany. From the hello, first of all.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Your film First Work, Then Play at the festival, which is a 20-minute roller coaster ride on the question of being creative when you have to and not when you feel like, right? I mean, at least this is what I got from the... You are a musician and a filmmaker, so do you ever suffer from lack of creativity?
Yes, of course, all the time. I just wanted to capture what it's like to be a freelancer and be a creative, and the protagonist has made her passion into her profession, right? So it's actually a very kind of traumatic process to go through after you leave art school and you're financially dependent on your art. So yeah, that's what I wanted to show in the movie.
Why did you choose the kind of storytelling that you made? Because the film is very pop in terms of colors, of it's very fast paced, edited. He has some animation in it, so there's a lot of stimulation for the viewer, which is unbalanced with the lack of stimulation that she has from herself. You know, the character of your film. So, why did you choose this? Just juxtaposing this to different feelings.
So I wanted to make the movie, I wanted the movie to mirror the way that she feels, and also like the kind of overstimulating stimulation that she gets from her outside world, from social media, from the pressure that she feels from her friends and family. And I think it's nice that the form of the film follows like the story and the theme. And also she's just so unfocused. She cannot focus at all. And I think that's kind of also what the film does, that it kind of breaks the audience's focus. And it's always like hopping between scenes and very fast paced and all overwhelming, because she feels overwhelmed by life. And one of her coping mechanisms is consuming memes, and also making memes that are very not loving herself. And that's definitely part of this whole thing, that she's kind of reflecting on herself in a humorous way in these memes.
She is like obsessed and oppressed by these voices that she hear, the stimulation or this even threatening voices that she has in her mind, that we see are in your film are like in the body of a young girl and of this figure, this weird persona all in gold that is. This last one, he has a kind of very safe image at the very beginning, but then you know that she's evil. So she is always, and she can't escape from that. As an artist, are you portraying what happens to you sometimes? So do you feel that this kind of pressure from the outside is crushing your creativity instead of stimulating it?
Yes. Interestingly, I feel like every person who was involved in making this film could relate a lot to this movie, because we all have those inner voices. And the topic that I actually wanted to show in the film was this psychological concept of the inner child and the inner cop. So the inner child is like a younger version of yourself that is kind of like the core of your trauma and reacts together with you. And the inner cop is kind of like a voice that is always scolding you in a way. And it's kind of the internalized oppressive thoughts that our society has ingrained in us. So those are two voices that she kind of struggles with. And other than that, it would have been just one person alone in her room, which wouldn't have been very visually appealing, of course. So that's something that I wanted to try out in my graduation film, First Work in Play, because I'm extending on the story and the feature film that I'm currently writing. So because, yeah, obviously it's a weird concept to have actual people or personified inner cops or inner childs to appear in a movie and them actually talking together.
Yes, and Brandon, there was another issue that is very visible and clear and outspoken in the film, which is the fact that your artist in your film is a woman, and it's a black woman, and she has to suffer even more restriction and on one side and demands on the other side in order to be able to express herself, which is undoubtedly true. And why did you choose to for her to be black, a black woman, instead of, I don't know, maybe it's a stupid question, but it was.
Yeah, I mean, that question almost implies that white is like the norm. And I think that's definitely one of the reasons. But the main reason was that, I mean, hustle culture, which is something that I really struggle with myself and I wanted to show in this movie or discuss in this movie, hustle culture is bad for everyone. If you're like, no matter your or race or whatever, but if you have several like oppressions, like especially the intersections of oppressions, then it kind of multiplies hustle culture or like the bad effects. And so there's this one moment in the movie where a meme that she makes says, "You'll all, like no matter how good you are, you'll always have to work twice as hard to achieve half of what the others have or get," and that's so true. I wouldn't say that she's a woman. I would say that she's somewhere like maybe a non-binary person, but she's presenting as female and she's a dark-skinned black woman. So those are two factors that just generally leave certain doors closed for her as an artist, or it makes things so much harder. Yeah,
add up to the actual regular difficulties, you know. They add up, and the look of the film. This is my last question. The look of the film, as we said, is very pop, and it tastes is like a fairy tale too, because it needs new, very and you chose to create an ending which is a hope, probably, and it's like a way of one of the potential way to exit this kind of vortex where she was in. Did you conceive the ending like this from the very beginning? And did you conceive the feel, the taste, the look of the film like this from the very beginning?
With the ending, that's a good question, because I really struggled with the ending. I'm aware that it's a bit kitsch. I don't know how you say it in English. It's definitely campy, and it combines like a kind of dadaistic vibe that you see in current meme internet culture or Gen Z humor on TikTok. And I think that's also kind of the aesthetic that I was going for, just very bright and poppy. But there was actually very detailed visual concept. Like, for example, Maxie, the main protagonist, who is very burned out, has very washed out colors, desaturated colors, while her inner child, who is kind of her personal trainer, is always appearing in neon colors. And then obviously the inner cop appears like in a always golden glittery style. And so something fell down. And I feel like with colors, it's the same with music. You can tell the story on a subconscious level, and you can guide the audience a little bit more into those directions. And also I just think no colors is boring, so it makes the film more vivid, of course. And I was also going kind of for a kawaii aesthetic, which is like a Japanese aesthetic of cuteness, and therefore also some of the colors.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks to Brenda Leon, the director of First Work, Then Play, shown at the Carly Vivari Festival in the Future Frame section. Thanks a lot. Good luck with your film, and thanks for having been with us.
Thank you as well.
I'm Angela Cervi for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.